I have to be careful. Sometimes I feel like I'm just right on the edge. Could go either way. I guess I could almost sit down and not even preach this morning after the prayer. Kevin, thank you, brother. Thank you for making me emotional before I even begin to preach. Really a sermon in your prayer, and thank you for that. John chapter 1, I better just go ahead and get started, otherwise I will go over the edge with my emotions. I didn't really mean to preach a series on John 1, but that's where I have found myself after coming back from Africa and preaching the gospel and seeing so many people respond. I want to continue on. We're going to do that this morning. I want the Northside Church of Christ to become a church that makes disciples. We reach out and we make disciples, and then we walk with those people and show them what it looks like to follow Jesus to the point where they will in turn make disciples. That's what I want us to be. That's who I want us to be. We're not going to stand before God as a church, I don't think. But it would really be cool for God to say, look at the Northside Church when we get there. Look at those folks. Look at all the people that they brought to my son Jesus. And I want us to be a church who makes disciples, who in turn make disciples. And that's what I want to spend the rest of my life doing, helping us become that church. I want to be that individual. I want to be that person who is making disciples. And I want us collectively, as a body of people, to do that. The church really only exists to do that. Jesus didn't die just so we could come and assemble on a Sunday morning and sing some songs, but he died so that the church would bring him glory by bringing more and more people to him. So that's what I want us to do. Let's continue to think about that. If you think back over your own life, there's probably someone who invited you into something that changed you. One invitation can redirect a destiny. One conversation can alter a future. One relationship can reshape an entire family. So in the first chapter of John, we see one of the simplest and most powerful patterns of discipleship in all of the Bible. It's not a program. It's not a strategy. It's not a campaign. It's simply one man bringing one man to Jesus. This is the heart of today's message. The movement of God often begins with one person who decides to bring one person. So John chapter 1, let's pick up in verse 35. We've already read this, we'll read this again. The word of the Lord says this. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." And so they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. So John points people to Jesus. John the Baptist is standing with two of his disciples, and Jesus walks by, and John says with one sentence, he says, "Look, the Lamb of God." That's it. Look, the Lamb of God. No pressure, no manipulation, just pointing. So John knows his role. We've talked about this the last couple of weeks. John knows his role. John's ministry was never about gathering followers for himself. His calling was to prepare the way and point people to Jesus. John didn't try to be the Savior. He didn't try to fix people. He didn't try to carry the weight of their transformation. He simply pointed people to Jesus. I want you to know that evangelism begins with pointing, not proving. We often think that evangelism means that we must convince people, we must argue with people, we must explain everything. I've been guilty of that. I felt like I had to have an answer for everybody's question. I had to be able to explain it. But John shows us something different. Your job is not to be Jesus. Your job is simply to point to Jesus. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't need a perfect life. Thank goodness we don't have to have a perfect life to point somebody to Jesus. You just need to know where to point. And people follow Jesus when someone points them toward him. John points, his disciples follow. That's the pattern. That's the pattern. Someone pointed you to Jesus. And now you get the privilege of pointing someone else to Jesus. So Jesus invites people to come and see. The two disciples begin following Jesus, and Jesus turns and asks them, What do you want? What do you want from me? So they ask Jesus where he's staying, and he simply responds, "Come. Come and you will see. Come and see." So Jesus' invitation is relational, not informational. Jesus doesn't give them a lecture. He doesn't hand them a pamphlet or a tract. He doesn't give them a list of requirements. He just simply gives them himself. Come and spend some time with me. Evangelism is not about giving people a presentation, but it's about giving people an invitation. How many of you remember the Jewel Miller film strips? Anybody remember those? You know, I've told you when I first was baptized, I was 10 years old, and I just celebrated my baptism birthday, July the 6th, 1975. 51 years ago. I used to go with one of our elders. I think I've told you this story. His name was, I don't know what his real name was, but everybody called him Brownie. Brownie Knowles. I know that wasn't his mama didn't name him Brownie, but that's what everybody called him, Brownie Knowles. I don't even know what his name was. But he was such a sweet man. And so he invited me to go with him. We would have Bible studies. And I don't know how they got the Bible studies. I think it was one of the World Bible School things where somebody had mailed it in. But I would go with him, and I was the silent partner. And I got to change the film strip. We didn't have VCRs back in the day. It was just the old film strip that you got to feed through, and every time the cassette went beep, I changed it. And so that's what I got to do. I got to be the silent partner and change the Jewel Miller film strip. We think that we have to have all the answers. We have to have a presentation that will give people all of the answers, when really it just starts with a simple invitation Come and see. Come and see removes all the pressure from us. It takes the onus off of us, puts it back on Jesus. You don't have to convince someone to believe. I have been so guilty of that in the past. I felt like there was a weight on my shoulders that I had to say things the right way to convince the person I was talking to believe in Jesus. And not just to believe in Jesus, but to believe in Jesus the right way. The right way that I believed in Jesus. Maybe you've been guilty of that as well. You don't have to convince someone. You just have to invite them to come and see. Invite them to church. Invite them to coffee. Invite them into your life. Invite them into a study of Scripture. Jesus will do all the heavy lifting. You don't have to do the heavy lifting. He's already done it. But you just have to invite them. People are drawn to Jesus when they see him up close. If a man or a woman truly sees Jesus up close, I think they'll fall in love with him. I think it's almost impossible not to fall in love with Jesus if you really see him. And probably the first way they're going to see him is through you, and it's through me. People are drawn to Jesus when they actually see Jesus. So Andrew's first instinct was to bring somebody, to bring one. Andrew's one of the two disciples who spent the day with Jesus. And Scripture simply says, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon. The very first thing he wanted to do, go and get his brother. Andrew goes to the person who is closest to him. He doesn't start with strangers. He doesn't start with crowds. He doesn't go on a mission trip. He simply starts with his brother. Your one might be the person who's closest to you. Might be a spouse. It might be your child, a coworker, a teammate, a neighbor, a friend. Andrew shares what he knows, not what he doesn't. He doesn't preach. Andrew doesn't quote scripture. He doesn't explain any theology. He simply says to his brother, we found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. And I'm pretty sure that Andrew doesn't even really fully understand what all of that means. We know that through the course of Scripture as we continue to read, that those closest to him, I think sometimes we have the thought that all of these disciples, when they found out that Jesus was there, they left everything because they were following the Son of God, God in the flesh. That's not what they thought. That is not what they thought. They thought they were following an earthly king, an earthly Messiah. Some of them may have initially even followed Jesus because they thought there was something in it for them. They were going to be the insiders. They were going to be his cabinet. They were going to be, you know, the vice president, the treasurer, secretary, all this. They thought they were going to have the inside track when Jesus became king. That was their initial thought. We found the Messiah. We found the Christ. They hadn't yet fully understood and would not until Jesus was resurrected. But Andrew knew he had to bring his brother to Jesus. A very simple testimony, a simple invitation. Andrew brings Simon to Jesus. This is the hinge of the whole passage. Andrew brought him to Jesus. Not to himself, not to a program, not to a philosophical argument. He brought him to Jesus. And this is the model. You meet Jesus, and then you bring someone to Jesus. You bring someone to meet Jesus. That's the model. It's the master plan of evangelism. It's that simple. There is nothing more simple than God's master plan of evangelism. With the E word, it scares us to death. Evangelism. I don't think I could be an evangelist leading someone to Jesus, but you can. It simply starts with an invitation. Anybody drink coffee? Anybody like to drink coffee? You know somebody that likes to drink coffee. Invite them to a cup of coffee. Share Jesus with them. That's the model. Jesus transforms the man that you bring. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to do it. And in fact, you can't change anyone. You know what? You have a hard enough time trying to change you. I have a hard enough time trying to change me. I can't change anybody. And that's the beauty of it all, is I don't have to. And you don't have to. Jesus will transform the person. When Simon arrives, Jesus looks at him and says, "You are Simon. You'll be called Cephas," which when translated means Peter. Jesus sees who you are and who you can become. Simon was impulsive. He was emotional. He was inconsistent. But Jesus saw a rock. Andrew didn't know that when he brought him. Andrew did not know that when he brought his brother to Jesus. But Jesus saw it. Jesus not only saw who Peter was, but who Peter could become. And so you never know who your one will become. You never know when you invite someone to meet Jesus what will happen with them or what they will go on to become. Your one might be the next leader. Your one might become the next missionary. Your one might become the next elder in the church, or the next man who leads his family to Christ, or the next woman who breaks generational sin. Your one might be the next man who brings his one to Christ. Andrew simply brought one. That one was Peter. And Jesus used Peter to bring thousands. Remember Acts chapter 2? Pentecost. Peter is the one who stands up along with the other apostles and preaches. And if I remember correctly, some 3,000 people accepted Jesus Christ, were baptized into his name. Jesus does the transforming. Your job is to do the bringing. You bring, Jesus transforms. That's the way it works. You don't change people. You don't fix people. You certainly do not save people. You bring them, Jesus changes them. Why does this matter today? Why does any of this matter? Because people respond to personal invitation. Most people come to church because someone invited them. Not because of advertising, not because we have a really cool website, not because of programs, but people come because of relationships. There's always exception to the rule. There's somebody that wandered in off the street, saw some cars parked here, and they said, I think I'll go in and check that out. That happens from time to time. But the vast majority of people are going to come to know Jesus because someone invited them to come to church. Why don't you come to church with me? Just come. No pressure. Just come and see what it's about. That's why people come. That's how people come to know. Because discipleship spreads through relationships. When one person follows Jesus, marriages change. When one person decides to follow Jesus, whole families change. Priorities change. Habits change. Legacies change. One person can shift an entire family tree. That's the exciting thing about what's happening in West Africa. And so many of those villages, especially in Togo, where 70% 70 to 75% of the whole population of the whole nation is 18 years and under. The vast majority of people, inhabitants in Togo, are children. If they only knew that they could just rise up and take it over, they could run the country. But when a man and his wife become a Christian, their whole family is now going to be changed. Those children are going to be raised up hearing the name of Jesus, singing praises to him, every Sunday going to church, during the week, listening to the Bible on a proclaimer, having somebody that can read in that village read the Bible to them. Whole families, entire family trees, entire villages are changing, and nations are changing because one person decided to follow Jesus. And because the gospel moves at the speed of obedience. The gospel moves at the speed of obedience. Andrew didn't wait. He didn't hesitate. He did not overthink it. He just immediately went and got his brother. He didn't stop and think, well, I wonder if this is going to insult Peter in some way. I wonder if this is going to hurt Peter's feelings if I go and share this with him. He didn't overthink it. He just simply went and got his brother and said, you got to come and see this man named Jesus. I think he's the Messiah. I think he's the Christ, the one that we've been waiting for. Even though he didn't fully understand what all of that meant, he would eventually. He obeyed immediately. Imagine if every believer in this room brought just one person to Jesus by the end of this year. Just one, not many, but just one. Imagine the ripple effect that would have. Imagine the stories that we could tell. Imagine the baptisms that we would have. Imagine the transformation. What if we began to do that and we had so many people coming to Jesus and we were baptizing people almost on a weekly basis? What if one Sunday a month, or maybe two Sundays a month, Rodney didn't even preach, but we just spent that time telling stories, encouraging each other, someone sharing how so-and-so brought them to Christ and now they were baptized and what they used to be and who they are now. And we just began to encourage one another and share those stories, maybe pre-record some things and show them on a video about how lives have been changed. And then maybe one of you, the person who brought that person to Christ, stands with them and began to share about how that interaction took place and how you wanted to share Jesus with your friend. And we just spent time encouraging each other that way. What if we spent one Sunday a month or two? Or what if we spent every Sunday sharing stories of transformation? Wouldn't that be beautiful? Wouldn't that be exciting? You say, I wouldn't have to listen to Rodney preach. I'll go save somebody if we can do that. Now, you're not going to save somebody, but Jesus is going to. Jesus will do the heavy lifting. You just introduce him, and Jesus will do the heavy lifting. Here's a practical challenge for you. Identify your one. Identify who that is. And you've already got somebody in mind. And before you leave this morning, I want you to write that name down, because you've already got someone in mind. You have someone that's been weighing on your heart, someone that you've been wanting to share the gospel with, but you just didn't know how to do it. You were afraid. You were scared. Didn't want to say the wrong thing. Didn't want to lose a friendship. You've already got that one. Identify it. Your one might be a coworker, a neighbor, a teammate, your brother, your sister, a son, a friend, a man who is drifting, a woman who is hurting, someone who's searching. Pray for that person. Pray for your one. Ask God to open her heart, to open his heart. Ask God to give you courage, and God will create an opportunity. God wants people to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish. He wants everyone to come to a knowledge of His Son, to come to repentance. So if you pray, God, give me an opportunity to reach someone and to share my faith with them, do you think God's going to answer that prayer? The very thing that God wants to happen? Absolutely. But then you've got to look for the opportunity, because the opportunity is going to present itself. And that's when you step into it, because you've asked God to give you courage, to give you boldness. Invite your one. Invite him to church. If you will invite someone to church, I will make a promise to you that I will do my best not to embarrass you. Let's put it that way. I'll do my best not to embarrass you. Bring your friend, and I'll do my best to preach the word and to not embarrass you, okay? Bring your friend to church. Invite them to coffee. Invite them to lunch. Invite them into a Bible study, a men's gathering, a ladies' day. Invite them into your home. Invite them into your story. Tell them your story. If you are a Christian, you have a story. Somebody shared Jesus with you. Maybe it was just your parents. Maybe it was your parents who took you to church all your life. That's your story. It's a good story. I used to be upset. And I've told you this. I'm going to just share it real quickly. When I was traveling, we were actually in Louisville, the old Louisville Church of Christ. And 75-80% of all the people in that church were recovering addicts from something. Alcohol, drugs, something. I didn't know that at the time, but that's what it was. And Philip, this big guy, 6'4", 6'5", big man, and I've told you the story, he'd come and give you a bear hug and almost break your ribs, and he just said, "Let me tell you what Jesus has done for me." And that's all he wanted to do, was tell you what Jesus had done for me. I used to be this, but now I'm this. And after we sang there and after we left, for several weeks, I felt kind of bummed out, because I didn't have that kind of story. I didn't have I was a drug addict, but now I'm a Christian, you know, story. I was raised in church all my life. I was only a couple of weeks old, probably, when my mom took me to church, and I had been in church all my life. Have I been perfect? No. Have I made mistakes? Plenty. But I've always known about God. I've always loved Jesus. I've always loved singing hymns. I've always loved everything about God and church. So I didn't have a story like that. I didn't have a story where I lived crazy like the world, and then someone told me about Jesus. I've always known about Jesus. That's my story. And if that's your story, be proud of it. Be happy that you didn't have to go through a lot of other things and sleep on the street and be recovering from alcohol or drugs. Be happy and excited that that's not your story, but that your story is that you always went to church and VBS, and you've always known about God. Tell someone that story and be happy and be proud of it. And then trust Jesus with the results. Trust Jesus with the results. We have to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to work in that person's life just like it's working in your life. And we've got to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to lead them into all truth, and that we don't have to tell them all truth the first time we sit down with them, but that God will lead them in the right direction. You bring, Jesus transforms. That's the way it works. So here's the conclusion of the matter. The movement starts with you. John pointed, Andrew followed, Andrew brought his brother, Jesus changed his brother, and Peter was used to change the world. That's how the gospel spreads. One person bringing one person to Jesus. So here's the call. Bring one. Bring one. Just one. Start there. Don't start with two. Don't start with five. Bring one and watch what Jesus does. Before you leave today, pray for your one. Pray for her this week. Pray for him this week. And then figure out how you're going to invite them to church, to coffee, to lunch. If you invite them to coffee, there's a place you can take a loan out. There's banks all up and down the road here. You can take a loan out to buy them a coffee and a bagel. It's going to cost you, but it'll be worth it. To introduce someone to Jesus, that's something that you want on your resume when you stand before the Father. When he finally comes back, when he sends his son, you want that on your resume. You want Jesus to see that you have shared your faith with people and led someone to Christ. Bring one, just one. I'll do my best not to embarrass you. I can't make a promise, but I will do my best not to embarrass you. If we can help you this morning, church, if we can pray for you, our brother said it so eloquently in his prayer that people are hurting, everyone's hurting. Everyone has something that's on their heart weighing in. If we can pray for you this morning, let us know. Let us help to carry that burden, because in that way we get to fulfill the law of Christ. That's Galatians 6.